we've been talking about grief more in terms of the home setting, but what about in schools? How should those conversations with schools happen? What should the teacher be told? Who should be telling the teacher? Like, you know, how do those conversations unfold? What insight can you give in that space?
So in terms of schools, oftentimes what we've seen is someone calls the school to say, like, they won't be at school today, or this happened. And then the administrators disseminate that information to the children's teacher. From there, if it's the grown-up in that child's life, what we would say is to include the child in the conversation and say, I'm letting your teacher know that this happened. And then including the child in the decision as to whether or not the teacher is to tell the class or the child can tell the class, or really how their grief story is being told. Another suggestion is to establish a support plan within school. So when you're in class and that next wave of grief is coming, what can happen? Can you turn in a pass to the teacher that says, I need to go talk to the school counselor? Does it mean I get to just take a breath, go to the restroom, and then come back? What type of plan do we have to be able to help with those scenarios? If we know that one of those days is coming up where kids bring their grown-up to school, can that child come to school later and still be counted as present? Or how can we help support the child in those moments? So it's from the grown-up's perspective, part of it is advocacy for your child and being able to have a support plan in place at school. And if you're a supporter of a parent, is to be able to come through and say, when this, because it's going to happen. So when this wave of emotion comes, who can we identify within the school to be able to support that? And so also our biggest recommendation oftentimes is to ensure that the school knows, because learning is going to be interrupted in one way or another. You're going to see it in one way or another. So how can we provide some grace for the child too, while they're trying to establish what that next piece is?
Well, and you had mentioned earlier in the conversation too, like grief being very physical for kids. So what about, you know, if a kid suddenly starts getting headaches or stomach aches and they want to go to the nurse more, you know, what kind of accommodations should teachers be aware of around that? You know, that it's not just a kid trying to get out of class.
Yeah. We often hear that the nurse's office will call daily or every other day because somebody has a stomach ache or a headache and they just don't feel well. And so part of that can be really responding to that physical manifestation of grief, or being able to say, we at Bose Place have a handout that is like just an outline of a body, and we'll say like, where in your body? So where in your body are you feeling this? And using the colors associated with what they're feeling. And there too, I mean, I also recognize that teachers have 20 something students that they're responding to. So trying to involve, if there's a school counselor, being able to involve them. If there's the school nurse, to be able to say, you know, we'll take 5 minutes, lay down, engage a little bit more in the conversation. Like, where in your body are you feeling this? And what exactly are you feeling? Because most often than not, it's, I really miss them, or somebody said something and I'm just, it's how my body's responding to what's being said, and trying to engage in that way with the child.
You talked too about the big days, and maybe the child comes in later. One of the things I've heard come up in conversations with some grieving families is even like particular assignments, you know, the like, draw me a picture of your family assignments, or we're going to write a report about dad today. You know, so what guidance can you offer educators on thinking through, and again, not putting more weight on people who are already so overburdened, but you know, just sort of being grief aware in your planning?
So oftentimes it comes down to language, right? We will often say, like, write a report about your parents, right? And not being aware of what that means. And so it's becoming more mindful of the words that we're choosing. So you can keep the same assignment and say, write a report on your grown-ups, or write a report on the adults in your life. It's still, you'll still get what you're looking for by being able to broaden that language up to be a little bit, because we also know that our families are non-traditional more often than not. So being a bit more informed of the language that we're using and recognizing that we will mess that up. And so being able to say when that happens and saying, so sorry. It can be about your grownups or your adults and catching yourself and correcting ourselves. Because that's another piece too, is it, we will mess this up. No one's perfect when it comes to this. And so giving yourself grace in that regard and being able to say, you know, of your parents or the grownups or the adults and in one way or another. Now, the pictures too, of being able to say, draw a picture of your family is still your family. It may look different in one way or another, and being aware that people's families look different and knowing that that's okay. So we often do that one, that specific activity at Bo's Place too, where we have the kids draw their family, and some will implement their person who died, some will not, and that's okay. Like, family is what you define it as too. Sometimes I see pets oftentimes in their family pictures, so it's just, I mean, that I think that's open to interpretation as to what one defines as their family.
And then so as we talked about earlier, especially with kids, you know, with grief in general, it does last a lifetime, but with kids things can be triggered, you know, years down the road or different milestones. So I guess any words of wisdom for teachers who has a kid in their class that maybe, you know, the kid is now in eighth grade and the loss occurred when the kid was in third grade, but there's still a grief trigger. I mean, you know, it's, I don't know if we can assume that that information would travel with the student as they go to different classes, but, you know, just, is there a way to establish that kind of grief awareness as an instructor, knowing that you might not have all the pieces of your student's story?
Absolutely. I think that there's, I go back to language being the biggest way that we can become grief informed, is just being aware of the language that we're using and providing a space for, as kids get older, as educators and the assignments that are being given, being aware that the concept of what we define as family has shifted over the years. And I think that just being aware that family doesn't look in the traditional sense, and that children might or might not have some sort of, whether it's a grief story, a trauma story that they're bringing with them, of just not automatically assuming that the reactions that they're seeing is related to, you know, some misbehavior or misconduct in one way or another, but to engage the child in a conversation about, like, I noticed this came up when we were talking about this. Would you like to share anything of it? Because that's another thing, is that kids are often mischaracterized as behaving poorly or misbehaving, when it's really just an avoidance that they're trying to not talk about or not deal with whatever the topic is in that moment. And so just being honest and having those conversations with kids opens the door to just be able to hear someone's story. So I would say to educators, being grief-informed involves language being a piece of it. And also, not to add another thing to teachers who I think do an incredible job, and kudos to them, to take just a few minutes of just looking at what caused that behavior. Like, what were we doing that caused that to happen? And sometimes it's nothing, and it just happened to be, like, they looked up and it was the hour that they heard, the time on the clock reflected the date that they died, or, it, you know, really someone's perfume. It can be really random triggers, but just taking the time to ask a child, like, what was going on, and if they don't want to talk about it, that's okay, that you're there to listen when they're ready to talk about it. That, I think that's another key piece to it.
And just to tease out those kind of behavior problems, because that's something I've heard and read that can come up a lot, is that, you know, as you mentioned, kids are physical and they grieve differently, that sometimes, particularly in the classroom with children grief, that certain behaviors that we, you know, deem, you know, air quotes, negative behaviors or problem behaviors are actually manifestations of grief. So, like, what are some of those things that might masquerade as behavior issues that actually could be, you know, a grief expression?
So, like, what we would often deem as hyperactivity or inability to sit still, irritability, anger outburst. I'm not saying that kids should be really physical in that regard, but sometimes that anger can be a piece of it. Talking while someone else is talking sometimes is the subject of what's going on. Unfortunately, I've heard quite a bit of our kids who have experienced the death of someone significant in their life are more susceptible to bullying. And so being aware of that as part of classroom management of what's being said, inattention or difficulty concentrating is another grief reaction that's often misconstrued as something else. But I would say avoidance or like I'm tired and I'm sleepy. It's just there are ways that avoidance kind of manifests itself with kids.
And then finally, going back to that piece of humility and grief work and all of us making mistakes, say, you know, you're a teacher and a kid has an angry outburst or something and you respond to it as you normally would in any classroom disruption. But then maybe, you know, later that day you're talking and you hear from the counselor that they are going through a grief experience or, you know, just something clicks in your head later that night. What does that conversation look to? Like, can you go back to that? And how do you go back to that moment and have that conversation with the child?
I think that ownership of when we weren't great at what we did is also a great modeling pattern for kids to be able to say, like, this adult that I hold in high esteem and is my teacher made a mistake and told me that they made a mistake. And we can't expect people throughout their lifespan to be able to own up to their mistakes, to accept their mistakes, if that hasn't been modeled for them in one way or another. And what better way to do that than a person that they hold in high esteem, like their teachers. So to be able to go back and have that conversation with the child and say, you know, yesterday when this happened and I responded in this way, I should have responded differently and I wish I could have. And I will hope moving forward that if that happens, I will respond in this way. And just being able to say that, we'll also say as educators and as people and as grief supporters, we often are very critical of what we say when we say the wrong thing. And we're like, oh no, I shouldn't have said that. I said that totally wrong. And it will stay with you for a while. But part of that is giving ourselves grace too, that we will mess it up. And if we can own up to what we've said, then and what our intentions were. And I think that's ultimately where it comes down to, like, what is our intentionality behind what we're saying to children, and being able to tell them, like, I'm sorry, I didn't say that correctly, or I didn't say that the way I wanted to, and what I meant was this. I think we're modeling for kids exactly the type of adults we would want that from our coworkers, right? If one of our coworkers said something incorrect, we'd want them to come back to us and say, no, you know what, I was wrong. And that's, at no point does that shift a power dynamic. It just helps model that accurate behavior for children who grow up to be, hopefully, you know, adults that we're working with and members of our society. And so how much better we would be if we all were able to say, I made a mistake and here's what it is. Same with, I think, grief in and of itself. If we can normalize and validate this experience for everyone, we'll be a much, much better society overall.